Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good Monday morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of this program here on the American Family Radio Network, broadcasting on 184 radio stations across the good old U.S. of A. And, of course, we're on the thousands of people listening to us on their apps for American Family Radio and on the Internet. We thank you for joining us. Joining me to co-host the program this morning is my panel, Ed Vitagliano, my usual panel on Mondays. Ed Vitagliano, good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Walker Wellman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
And Fred Jackson, news director for American Family Radio on OneNewsNow.com.
G'day, g'day.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing great.
By the way, hockey season, are we halfway through hockey season yet?
We are halfway. We had the All-Star game about 2 weeks ago,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Who won that?
Who won the All-Star game?
That was the, was it the, they have four teams competing, and I think it was the, was it the Metro or the Central? Yeah. I don't remember.
It's all changed. They got so many teams now. They got the country divided up like into four regions. And so the All-Star game, it's not really an All-Star game anymore.
Yeah.
It's like an All-Star series, and they play
like a round robin.
10-minute periods.
Yeah.
And there's only, what,
guys,
four?
Guys, all I asked was who won. I really didn't ask for it.
Well, I knew you really didn't care.
Yeah,
so.
But I was trying to be polite.
But you just initiated a discussion.
You just got to start giving me a history lesson on
that. That's right.
It's okay. I mean, Walker, what are we doing on Facebook? And Walker, again, I'm asking a simple question.
Yes.
What are we doing on Facebook today? I don't need a history of Facebook.
Yes. We are live streaming on Facebook. The Today's Issues Facebook page, so if you would like to watch the show or comment on the show, you can go to our Facebook page. That's
right.
Simple enough.
Thank you, Walker.
Yes, sir.
That's
can
maybe,
I add? Can I make it more complicated and add something to it?
Maybe others on the panel will follow your follow your lead.
I had to learn from their mistakes.
All right. Well, we've got a great guest coming up at the bottom of the hour. Nancy Piercy will be with us. She's one of the best writers in Christendom the last 20 years or so, and she's going to be joining us. She's a professor at Houston Baptist University, I think she is, and she's going to be talking to us about her new book, which is titled Love Thy Body, Answering Hard Questions About Life and Sexuality. Of course, nothing more has been at the forefront like human sexuality in the last 10 to 20 years within and without the church in American culture. And we're going to talk about that with Nancy Piercy in just a moment, just a few moments here on the program. I think you're really going to enjoy her and benefit from her perspective. All right, Fred Jackson, leading the news.
Let's talk about the Olympics.
All right.
It's very cold in South Korea. Now, you guys have to ask the follow-up
question.
Here we go.
How cold is it?
How cold is it? They actually had to cancel some of the events because it's too cold outside.
The Winter Olympics, too cold.
The Winter Olympics, they had to cancel some of the – minus 31, that's with the wind chill factor. Minus 31, that's mighty cold.
That's
wind blowing, and it's dangerous too for the skiing events down these hills, when especially when they do these jumps and they get up there and they hit a 30-mile-an-hour wind. That's mighty dangerous for these skiers.
I can see that.
It's but I was watching some of the games on the weekend. The snowboarders, these guys just absolutely amaze me what they do. I just tense
up. And gals.
It's
boys and girls.
I just tense up. But an American, a 17-year-old from Colorado, won the gold for the United States on the weekend. This kid is so good.
Yeah.
I mean, they take off down this sharp hill, and they run that snowboard across a railing, and then they are tossing and turning like four flips in the air. And the my goodness, I just have so much respect. But this kid, 17 years old. He wins a gold medal for the United States.
Yeah, I didn't see his particular run, but I watched a little bit last night of the of the snowboarding. You know, snowboarding.
We were shut out on medals the first day, didn't we? Mm-hmm. U.S. was
I believe,
shut out.
Yeah, but doing much better. Now, the other, there's politics, too, with this. Vice President Pence is representing the United States, at least during the opening, that sort of thing. But you may have seen the picture during the weekend. So it's Vice President Pence and his wife, and they're sitting next to the South Korean leadership. But up sitting in some seats right behind them is the sister of the North Korean dictator. I'm not sure what her name is, but I do know her.
Kimberly.
Kimberly?
No, I don't know. They call her Kim.
They call her Kim.
They're all named Kim.
All right.
Was that insensitive?
Move on. Yeah, move on. Hurry up. Hurry up, Fred. Hurry up. Before somebody catches it.
Sure. Her job title is she's in charge of agitation and propaganda. Imagine having
that's her title?
What do you do there at the government? The government
you know,
agitation.
In charge of agitation and what?
Propaganda.
Just propaganda, you know.
What a business card.
You know.
Hi, I'm Kim.
Minister of Propaganda and...
A&P. I'm Minister of A&P.
Yeah.
Okay. Agitation and propaganda.
If you'd like to apply for a job at our department, please submit your resume.
That's right.
Just send it to me email.
That's right.
Any agitating you used to do as kid in
please put
school,
it down.
Put it down.
Yeah, do people describe you as a turkey?
I mean, you talk about being open and honest. Yeah, I'm in charge of agitation and propaganda.
But there's a, to your point, I think a lot of people are bothered or that we're normalizing this woman who represents one of the most, if not the most brutal regimes in the world, and you know, and everybody's celebrating her like she's Princess Di or something.
Right,
that's what I'm reading.
And some of the media were comparing Vice President Pence's refusal to shake her hand as equivalent to Kaepernick kneeling for the national anthem, and that's totally an unequal comparison.
Oh my!
And the media was fawning over her, over Kim Jong-un's sister.
Yeah.
And totally forgetting how the people in North Korea live right now.
Mm-hmm. CNN got in trouble because they did all kind of this flowery piece about her, Kim. And they got in a lot of trouble from some of the other media and some people writing in just saying enough is enough. They actually took the story down eventually.
Now, are the Koreans participating as
A-team?
A-team on all events? I know they walked in together during the opening ceremonies. In other words, there was no North or South Korea. It was just Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Are they participating like that during the events?
I'm not sure about that, Tim.
Okay.
Yeah, not sure.
You know, Ed?
I don't know.
You care?
I'm looking up Kim Jong-un's sister's name. I'm trying to find
out. You're on a mission?
I'm on a mission.
Well, you get back with us after you tell us what you find out.
Okay.
Are you already back?
It's looking like Kim Yo Jong. So
it is Kim.
So I guess is that right? Kim? Yeah, Kim Yo Jong.
Well, Kim Yo Jong
is the sister's. I'm double checking that.
I just think it's. Most people don't
His
care.
Only sister, Kim Yo Jong.
Yeah.
So you all thought I was making fun when I said.
Was it Kim?
It is Kim.
Yep. Way to go.
So Kim, probably that Kim is used in majority of Korean names, I would guess.
It may be some kind of one of those title things,
like
too.
In Ireland, everybody's Mac.
Yeah, I mean, it could be something like that. It could be something.
Well, not everybody, but a lot of people are Mac, something or another.
Sean
All
Mack.
Right, so anyway, we got the Winter Olympic Games going on, we'll see what happens. Now, you had a couple of homosexual athletes spurning Vice President Pence, too, right?
One of the male figure skaters for the United States, a young man, he did very well in his performance last night. They call the long performance, I think it is. But anyway, he got into trouble, at least politically, when he dissed Vice President Pence. He didn't understand why and didn't agree with Vice President Pence representing the United States at the Olympics. And I think this goes back to Vice President Pence is an evangelical Christian. He's a former governor of Indiana. Remember, they were working on a religious freedom law there in Indiana while he was governor there. So he didn't like this homosexual skater for the United States, didn't like the fact that Vice President Pence was there. But you know what? Vice President Pence came back and said, I wish him all the best. I hope he does extremely well at the Olympics, this young man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you think the vice president handled it with class?
He sure did. Okay. He sure did. Just yeah. like we expect of Vice President Pence. He's that kind of man.
Another another teaching moment here. Kim, I'm on this, Tim. I'm
okay,
on
this here. Just to be clear, are we whiplashing? Are we back to the name?
Back to the name. Kim is actually the most common surname, last name, on the Korean Peninsula. Nearly 22% of the population has the surname. So the, even though it's first in the name, it's like saying Smith.
Smith, yeah.
Smith, John, John Stephen.
So if I am friends with some Koreans here and I ask them, do they know some Kims in that live south of Seoul?
Right.
Huh?
It's the most common surname on the entire Korean Peninsula.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So
don't ask them, are you kin to the Kims that live in
that's right.
so-and-so? Because they are.
It's like okay. say like Smith
okay.
for English.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So that was fascinating,
yeah,
though, right?
Say, here we go. Yes, fascinating. So, Ed, do you think we'll be revisiting this topic?
No, I'm done.
This hour?
I'm done.
Okay. You're gonna click onto a different website now?
No, I'm tracking now with Fred.
Okay. All right.
Go ahead, Fred.
You're listening to the radio today's issues on American Family Radio. There's no need to go to Ancestry Research, ladies and gentlemen, because you just email us in and Ed will be on it right
That's
here.
Right.
That's right.
Ed will be on it.
A handy dandy computer.
By the way, have you done that yet?
What's that?
That Ancestry thing you can do.
My sister did.
What'd she find out? Would the same be true of you, whatever she found out?
No, there's some genetic variation even amongst siblings. That's why we're not twins. We're not twins. So,
but I would think your mom and dad would come from the
But there's genetic variability, and I can look this up too if you want. There's genetic variability, so that's why like one of my sisters has blue eyes. I have brown eyes.
Oh, okay, but
so
there
would be
okay. Okay, I was just thinking, you know, when they come on and say, "Okay, I just found out I'm mostly Scottish," when I thought I was Irish. You know how they find that out
yeah.
in these commercials that you yeah. see on there, and then they got the pie.
Yes,
and I don't. After see, a while, I don't see the point. If you got a pie split up seven ways on what you are, what do you really know about yourself?
Well, if you're Elizabeth Warren, it kind of pays off.
Yes.
It gets you a job
you're
teaching
Indian,
because you're an
you're
Indian.
You're an Indian princess?
Yeah.
Or a Native American princess?
It's easy to get sidetracked, isn't it, Tim?
Get you a name. Yes. Would you get on that, Ed, and find
yes,
out?
Absolutely. I'm on it right now.
Hey, so your sister did that, huh?
Yeah. Okay. And on the Greek side, it was really broken up because there's been armies going through there forever. So, you know, we had like certain high percentage Greek, but then there was Balkan, and then there was
you believe
Eastern
all that?
European. I don't, you know what makes a person Greek? You know what I'm saying?
If
somebody
point.
Moves their family to Greece and they're there for 10 generations, is that Greek enough? Are they Greek even though they came from France? I mean,
That's
you see what
point.
I'm saying? I mean,
Duly noted. All right. Well, I think we need to take that topic on sooner or later. Right,
we'll
here.
Get some expert on.
Okay.
So Brent Creeley's our producer. You may get some experts
get
on.
Get some expert on.
From Ancestry.com.
I think Ed's question deserves an answer.
I'd like to know what I am.
I think he's Italian.
Huh? Half Italian, half Greek. That was so easy to say. Italian. Now I'm 23% Greek,
right,
and then I'm Balkan and Eastern
Spartans
European.
Came through. And
probably some Turks in there. I don't know.
Okay.
Looks a little Irish to me, too.
Okay. Got a little Irish mix. What do you got there, Fred?
All right. Meanwhile, back in Washington today.
We left the Olympics now. We're back in D.C., right?
We're back in D.C. Let's whiplash back there. Up on Capitol Hill today, later on this evening, the Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, will open up debate.
It's a man of conviction right there.
Uh-huh.
That guy's a rock. If you can count on one man in Washington, D.C. to do the right thing, it's Mitch McConnell.
Dripping.
I'll defend him to the you guys can laugh.
Dripping.
You'll defend him.
Go ahead, Fred.
Open up debate on the immigration issue. And you are going to hear proposals for compromise. Now, we all know, let's just stop for a moment. What does the president want? Here's what the president's offering. He's offering a pathway to citizenship for 1.8 million Dreamers. In return for that, he wants just over $25 billion to build a wall. He wants to get rid of the so-called lottery, where basically a bunch of people...
The visa lottery. But basically, people can come here to America, and here's how we decide who comes here. We throw all of the names in a hat and pull out one.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thus right. The lottery.
Okay. And then the other... Do away with that one, okay.
Chain migration. Now, he has an uphill battle because even many in his own party don't want to go on with that. For instance, there is a proposal coming from Democrat Senator Dick Durbin and Lindsey Graham. They have teamed up. They say their plan would provide possible citizenship for hundreds of thousands of Dreamers, but they only want to give the president $2.7 billion for border security. All right? So that's a long way from $25 billion down to $2.7 billion. And even the Associated Press says that's a non-starter. So you're going to see this debate go on and on. They're going to go back and forth in the Senate. And the other thing that you have to be aware of, folks, is that the 60-vote threshold.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have...
A.K.A. filibuster.
Unless Senator McConnell changes his mind, he will ask for 60 votes to pass any kind of measure with regards to immigration. And I just don't see that happening at all.
Walker?
I think the only way to, quote, fix this or pass an immigration package is I think the Republicans have to hold their ground for the border wall funding. At least maybe $15 billion plus to make President Trump happy.
$15 billion?
For the wall. Yeah, he's asking 25, but I think he's obviously willing to move a little bit. Mm. I don't think he's willing to accept $2 billion for the wall. But I think it's going to take some Democrats coming on board and saying, okay, we'll fund the wall or at least part of it as long as we get 1.8 million, you know,
now, the 1.8 million that keeps being the number of people that President Trump is willing to put on a pathway to citizenship in return for the things we've mentioned here, including wall funding, border wall funding. That's you're talking about the Dreamers and their immediate families. Is that how you come up with the number?
I think it's spouse and children.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't
is 1.8 million.
Huh?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So if you had a dreamer, that is a person, that's what they call them. I don't know what else, for lack of a better term, DACA people. These people who come over to the U.S. As children, and this is the only country they've ever known, but they're here illegally. Hmm. So we're talking about what to do with these folks, what's a fair thing to do, and you're saying President Trump is offering to put them on a pathway to citizenship. Them and their immediate family.
Yes.
In return for the full wall funding.
Yes.
The
getting rid of the lottery.
Get rid of the visa lottery and the in-chain migration.
And it's important to note this is more than President Obama offered. President Obama offered just for the illegal immigrant themselves.
But he's not going to get it. President Trump's not going to get it, probably because the Democrats are so committed and some of the Republicans are committed to blocking the funding for the border security wall, right?
Yeah, but I think some Democrats might come on to funding the wall as long as they get the DACA fix, the illegal immigrant fix. I think because I don't see President Trump signing a bill with no wall funding or little wall funding. I think he's going to want a substantial amount. So I think they'll probably do something.
Well, I think what Walker is alluding to is that it's going to look mighty bad for the Democrats heading into the midterms if they turn down President Trump's offer of a pathway to citizenship for 1.8 million. And we could say a lot of these folks would be the constituency that Democrats depend upon for votes. So yeah. he's offering almost double what Obama was offering these folks.
But if the Democrats, if they take the long view, okay, I think they hold out. And they say, because if they take the long view, then they can continue to have illegal immigrants come in here by the millions. And then one day they control the House, the Senate, and the White House, and they legalize all these people.
Right.
Why surrender on wall funding when you don't want a wall? You know what I'm saying? The Democrats don't want a wall because it will prevent illegals from coming here. And they want illegals coming here. So I don't think they'll ever surrender on.
This is going to be a lot of pressure on President Trump, because he's the only person standing between right now, what we have right now, and amnesty without a wall. Because I believe the majority of senators, even Republicans, and even in the House, I think Republicans in the House are willing to pass a amnesty for 1.8 million and a fraction of wall funding, if no wall funding at all. That would pass the House and the Senate. I think what they're debating, I think the Senate will pass something in the next few days that includes little wall funding. But President Trump,
you mean he's funding for a little wall or little wall funding?
Little wall funding. meaning $2 billion.
Yeah, he's asking if it's funding wall. For a little wall, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's just, yeah, like, just like very
a four,
little.
Like a 4 foot.
Right. Yeah. You could think, jump over it if you need to.
Right, you don't
to.
Think President Trump's going to go for the 4 foot wall?
No, I think he wants 6 foot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh? Listen, I think the only thing working against Democrats, I understand what you're saying, Tim, and I think that's probably their strategy, just wait out President Trump. And I think that's probably what most of the, if not all, the establishment Republicans have been wanting to do since he got elected, since they can't stand him either, is the only thing putting pressure on the Democrats is if these DACA/Dreamers, and both of those, by the way, refer to two separate pieces of legislation. DACA is Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. That was something that President Obama instituted. DREAMers comes from the DREAM Act, which has never gotten passed. But this is all having to do with young people, people who came here illegally as children. What do we do with them? The only pressure I think that gets applied to Democrats is if those DREAMers see Democrat intransigence, stubbornness on the wall, as a reason why they still have to live in fear. If they look at Schumer and Pelosi and they say, wait a second, I'm here, I don't care personally whether other people come in here illegally or not, so I'm okay with the wall, just make it so that I don't have to worry about getting sent back to my country of origin. That's the only pressure I think that can be applied to Democrats. Mm-hmm. Is if those folks start saying, you really don't care about me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they don't.
Well, no, that's true. But
it'll be exposed.
You saw how Schumer and them backed down on the government shutdown when there was a lot of pressure applied by DREAMers.
Yeah. All right. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. And we shall return with Nancy Piercy. You're not going to want to miss this interview with author Nancy Piercy coming up after the break. It's going to be very insightful. And we got much more news to talk about. So stay with us. But what's the Olympic? By the way, the viewing for the Olympics is down.
Way down.
Way down?
Mm-hmm.
Summer Olympics seems to me to have more attraction because it's sports that people are more familiar with. The Winter Olympics it's hard to get people to, you know, tune in for somebody with a broom.
Except for hockey.
Somebody with a broom trying to push something across the ice. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues, we'll talk with Dr. Frank Turek of Cross Examine.
We're coming to different conclusions in different generations, and if morality was objective, the objection says, then you wouldn't have these different cultures coming to different conclusions about morality.
We'll also have Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios in the Morning. Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
If you like trips where you have to plan everything, then maybe our tour is not for you. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman with American Family Association and American Family Radio. Of course, I'm talking about our spiritual heritage tours of Washington, D.C., Mount Vernon, and then a separate trip to Williamsburg, Virginia. And guess what? We take care of everything. All you have to do is, as they say, show up. But we take these spiritual heritage tours twice a year, once in June and once in September. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation, who is a historian, will be joining us for both tours, and he will tell you everything you need to know about the places, the times, the events that we will experience on these tours of Washington, D.C. and Williamsburg. For all the information, just go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com for everything.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. Several American athletes have used their platform to engage in political grandstanding at the Olympic Games in South Korea. Speed skater Shawnee Davis did not even attend the opening ceremony after losing a coin flip to carry the U.S. flag. He suggested race might have played a role in the decision. Mr. Davis is black. Flag bearer Aaron Hamlin is white. Gay athletes Adam Rippon and Gus Kenworthy have been relentless in their attacks on Vice President Pence, angered over his religious beliefs regarding the LGBT community. And during the opening ceremony, the duo posted a churlish Instagram message to Mr. Pence. Sadly, their boorish behavior speaks more to their character than the vice president's, and it takes away from the spirit of the games. So, for the sake of the team, let's hope all three men focus on their sport and put their political grievances on ice. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Now, Walker's got us live video streaming on Facebook, so if you'd like to take advantage of watching or listening to the show there at our live Facebook feed for Today's Issues, do that. And, Walker, you've also posted a story or two we've talked about?
Yes, I have. I posted stories about the Olympics, stories about what Congress is doing when it comes to immigration this week. And one other thing I want to mention before we move on to our guest is our American Family Radio's partnership with India Partners. And what we are doing, have been doing the last week, and it'll continue until the end of this week, is we're partnering with India Partners to provide safe houses and days and nights of safety for young children in India. The children come out of the red light districts of Mumbai, India, which is filled with oftentimes prostitution and drugs, etc. So India Partners has safe houses in India, and so they provide basically refuge for the children coming out of the red light districts. And so what your gift will do is it will provide a day or a night of safety for children. $7.08 provides one day of safety, rescue, and care for a child escaping the red light districts. And $100, for example, would provide about 2 weeks of safety for a child in India. So you can, in order to give, here's the phone number and the website. The phone number to call and give is 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396, or you can visit our website, afr.net, afr.net, and give online.
All right, we want to welcome to our program now Nancy Piercy. Nancy is a professor at Houston Baptist University. and she's also a prolific writer, has been for 20 years or so, that I've known about Nancy's writings. She's been our guest before, but it's been a long time ago. Nancy, this is Tim Wildman. Welcome to American Family Radio.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Did I get you still at Houston Baptist?
I'm sorry, what? I can't quite hear you.
Are you still a professor at Houston Baptist University?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yes, I am at Houston Baptist University. I'm a professor of apologetics and a scholar in residence. So I get to do both. I get to teach students, which is a lot of fun, and they also support my writing and research. So it's a great job, and it's a great university.
Now, tell us about your new book. It's called Love Thy Body, Answering Hard Questions About Life and Sexuality. Tell us about this new book.
Yeah, my goal in the book is to address the moral issues that we are bombarded with every day in the news, from abortion and homosexuality, assisted suicide, transgenderism, the hookup culture, and so on. And what's unique about my take on it is we typically respond to each of these issues separately, and we try to memorize arguments for the secular view on each one of these issues, you know, if we're trying to respond to them. But we're going to be a lot more effective if we recognize that they all share a common underlying secular worldview, one that denigrates the body, one that has a very low view of the body. And as a result, it undercuts human dignity and destroys human rights. And so I help people to understand how to respond more effectively to these issues by getting to the underlying view of the human body. And that's why it's called Love Thy Body, because then I argue that Christianity gives actually a much higher view of the body than the current secular view does.
Nancy, Ed Vitagliano here. You just touched on it here at the end of your last comment. Usually the accusation goes the other way, that it's Christians who are all bound up and repressed over sexuality. They're ashamed of the body, and that's why they hold the views that they do about homosexuality, abortion, and all these kinds of things. How is it that you kind of turn the tables, if you will, and present the view that it's actually the secularists who hate the body and have the hang-ups?
You're absolutely right. I turn the tables. That's a good way of putting it. Let's take something really a front burner like homosexuality. No one really denies that on the level of biology, on the level of the body, physiology, anatomy, no one really denies that males and females are counterparts to one another. That is how the human sexual and reproductive system is designed. The body has a built-in purpose. So when you engage in same-sex behavior or take on a same-sex identity, implicitly, what are you saying? You're saying, why should my moral choices be directed by my body? Why should the structure of my body have any say in who I am sexually or what my sexual identity is? So this is a profoundly disrespectful view of the body. And where does it come from? Well, every ethic stems from a view of nature. And in this case, from a materialist view, that says matter is all it is, and nature is a product of blind material forces, and the body was reduced to a collection of cells and organs that has no higher dignity or purpose. So really, in this case, it's the Christian view that's saying, no, the body is important, the body is a gift of God, the body is something that should be informing our moral choices. It's really encapsulated in a quote that I give in my book from an outspoken lesbian. Her name is Camille Paglia. And here's how she defends homosexuality. She acknowledges that nature has made us male and female, that humans are a sexually reproducing species. But then she asks, why not defy nature? And here's the key quote. She says, fate, not God, has given us this flesh. We have absolute claim to our bodies and may do with them as we see fit. So the worldview question at stake in the sexuality debate is, what kind of cosmos do we live in? Are we really living in a cosmos made up of atoms bumping around randomly in the void? Or do we live in a cosmos that is ordered by a divine purpose and which gives rational grounds for our moral decisions? And in this debate, Christianity wins hands down in terms of having a higher view of the body, a more appealing, a more attractive, a more loving, a more affirming view than the secular ethic.
Talking to Nancy Piercy, I encourage you to get a copy of her new book called Love Thy Body, Answering Hard Questions About Life and Sexuality, which is what we're discussing with Nancy today. She joins us from Houston, Texas. She is a professor at Houston Baptist University. Fred?
Yeah, Nancy, there, when it comes to the issue of abortion, there seems to be some movement in our culture back towards a more pro-life stance. Many of our young people across the country are leading in the pro-life movement, but we're not seeing that when it comes to the issue of homosexuality as a sin. In fact, I've been reading where there's growing concern that even in the Christian community, they're making some degrees of compromise along the lines that, you know, we're made in God's image, therefore homosexuality is included in that. Is that the kind of thing that concerns you when it comes to the homosexual issue? It seems young people, even inside the church, are getting a very secular view.
Absolutely. You hear often people saying, God made me gay. Hmm. And the answer to that is, well, let me give you the words of someone who used to be homosexual. He wrote an article in which he said, if it's true that God made some people gay, he said, then God has played a cruel joke on them because he has engineered their minds and emotions for attraction to the same sex, but he's created their physiology to be in direct opposition to that attraction. Look, you cannot be a whole person when your emotions are at war with his physiology. So the Christian ethic is actually helping people to gain integration or harmony between our sexual and psychological identities. And, of course, on this side of heaven, we don't expect perfection any more than we expect perfection in any other area of life. But the goal of the Christian ethic is to help people recover a wholeness and inner unity between their psychological attraction and their physical identity. And so, again, this is a way to present Christianity in positive terms. It's very common for people to think of Christians as negative and judgmental because we do tend to emphasize sometimes the thou shalt not, right? It's a sin, it's wrong, don't do it. And though that's true, we will win hearts much more readily if we emphasize the positive, that in this case it's actually Christianity that has a positive view of the body and that is seeking to help people reintegrate their bodily identity with their psychological identity. That you should not be at war with, you know, your physiology versus your psychology. We want to help people wholeness and healthiness, and that should be the focus of our message.
Talking to Nancy Piercy, Nancy, this transgendered issue has been in the news. You know, I guess the Bruce Jenner putting on a dress and some makeup and calling himself a woman, you know, that kind of brought this issue to the forefront in a public way for the American society. And then he was celebrated for bravery, you know, by ESPN and others, and this became a big issue. Gay movement, the homosexual movement, again, been going on for a couple of decades, maybe longer, 3 decades, really, in America. But, man, that the transgender just sort of, boom, dropped in our lap here. And, you know, if you don't affirm it, then, you know, you're a bigot. And, you can't even say, no, that man has mental problems. A man who puts on a dress and makeup and calls himself a woman, it has mental problems. And that was just a given in society among liberals, conservatives, and anybody. And that sort of changed overnight. Are my observations correct there?
Well, the reason, it's easier to get a handle on it when you understand the underlying secular worldview, because the reason the transgender movement is moving forward so quickly is that it is the logical extension of that same secular worldview and its low view of the body. So think of it this way. The transgender narrative says gender has nothing to do with biological sex. There's a BBC documentary called Transgender Kids, and it says at the heart of the debate is the idea that your mind can be at war with your body. Notice that same language, at war with your body. So as a result, kids down to kindergarten are being taught that their body is irrelevant to their identity, which is incredibly demeaning to the body. It's teaching kids to have an inner conflict between the body and the mind. So it has a very fragmenting and self-alienating impact on the human personality. And the solution is to recover a higher view of the body. It was just a few days ago that I ran into an article by a 14-year-old girl. She had lived as a trans boy for 3 years and then reclaimed her identity as a girl. And she wrote an article saying the turning point came when she realized it's okay to love your body. And I thought, wait, that's the title of my book, Love Thy Body. Because I'm showing in the book that a biblical ethic can be presented in positive terms. It's reaching out to people with a message of the value and dignity of the body. So it overcomes that war between mind and body. And of course, people are much more than biological beings. But Scripture presents the created difference between male and female as a good thing. And so the basic question at the heart of all of these issues is, do we accept that created structure or do we reject it? Do we affirm the goodness of creation or do we deny it?
Nancy, a lot of times when the discussion turns to what are kind of called snowflakes, one of the things that is said commonly is that the real world doesn't act or respond to the way snowflakes want the world to be. When it comes to these issues like transgenderism, homosexuality, is reality ever going to have the final say when it comes to the way life really works and the way sexuality really works and the way gender really works? Is reality can sometimes be a brutal teacher. Is that what we're in for, or does this postmodern view of humanity triumph in the end?
Well, in my book, Love Thy Body, I tell lots of stories of real people. Really, and discovering what you call reality, which is a good way of putting it. For example, the chapter on homosexuality starts with one of my favorite stories. It's by a young man, about a young man named Sean. And Sean was exclusively attracted to other men. And then he became a Christian and decided, well, if I'm exclusively attracted to other men, I have to be celibate. But eventually, he got married and had 3 kids. So you ask, what changed? What changed, Sean says, is I stopped defining my identity by my sexual feelings, and I started regarding my physical body as who I was. In other words, he began to recognize that God made him male and that he could base his identity on his biology. Your feelings change. They often do. And so you can't really change your identity by directly focusing on your feelings. He says, what really changed me was when I began to acknowledge I already had a male body, and that was not going to change. My feelings will change. My biology doesn't change. And my biology is a good gift from God. So once again, the people who have changed in the stories that I tell in Love Thy Body, the people who found change and found transformation were people who recovered a higher respect for their body, that the material realm is a handiwork of a loving God. And so the biblical ethic always places great emphasis on the fact that we are embodied beings and that respect for the person is inseparable from respect from the body. The body has value and dignity as an integral part of the whole person. It's part of the created order that is declaring the glory of God.
Nancy, I have one last question, and then you please tell us how to get your book. again, I highly recommend it. We're talking to Nancy Piercy, author Nancy Piercy. The whole issue of judging the Hollywood, I noticed the other day, they're now starting to, for actors and producers, directors, entertainers, so forth, they're starting now, these companies that hire these people or pay these people are now going to start putting in what they call moral clauses in their contracts. That is to prevent things like, you know, what happened with Harvey Weinstein and Kevin Spacey and Matt Lauer and others that made so much news the last few months. But I'm just shocked at the way that Hollywood has turned into a very judgmental place where, you know, they're going after people and they're judging them, like Harvey Weinstein and others, about their sexual behavior. Because I always thought, Nancy, if you haven't figured it out, I'm going to have to get it out of my cheek here in a minute, but the way that they're judging everybody and the idea that Hollywood would put a moral clause to make a moral judgment against people, when they've been telling us for decades now that you religious people are the problem because you make moral judgments with respect to human sexual behavior. So are they, which is it?
Well, I appreciate the fact that Hollywood and others are trying to make a difference in sexual exploitation of women. But what they need to realize is there's not going to be able to be anything but just moralism, like you point out, unless they change the underlying worldview. The hookup culture that we live in today is driven by a materialistic worldview that says the body has no value. So why not just connect with someone as a body? Why connect with a higher level? In other words, in Love Thy Body, I give several very poignant quotes from young people who are trapped in the hookup culture and don't know how to get out. They know the rules of the game. No love, no relationship, no commitment. And so I quote a college student named Alicia who says, hookups are very scripted. You learn to turn off everything except your body. You make yourself emotionally invulnerable. And a senior named Stephanie says, yeah, it's body first, personality second. So what are these students saying? They're saying the hookup culture treats sexuality as though it can be purely physical, cut off from the whole person. So where is this coming from? The hookup culture rests on a materialist view of the human being as a physical organism driven by sheer physical drive with no higher purpose. And it's leaving a trail of wounded people. There's a researcher named Donna Freitas who interviewed hundreds of college students, and she found that privately they admit that these meaningless sexual encounters are very disappointing and that they feel hurt and lonely, and they wish they knew how to create a genuine relationship in which they are known and loved as full persons. And yeah. No wonder they are trying to live out a worldview that does not fit who they really are. And unless they get down to the worldview level, it's just going to be sheer moralism, sheer coercion, sheer oppression. We need to help people understand. They need to get back to looking at what is the human being? Is the human being a product of blind material forces and just a physical organism? Or is the human being a product of a loving God who has higher levels of purpose and meaning that are reflected in our sexual lives as well?
Nancy Piercy has been our guest. Nancy, the title of your book again, and we appreciate you being our guest today.
Thank you.
What's the name of the book?
Oh, the name of the book, Love Thy Body, Answering Hard Questions About Life and Sexuality. And you can, and you asked me earlier where you can reach me, nancypiercy.com, nancypiercy.com, or the Piercy Report.
Spell Piercy.
P-E-A-R-C-E-Y. There's an extra E in there that people sometimes miss. That is P-E-A-R-C-E-Y.
Thank you, Nancy. Appreciate you being our guest today.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, that's Nancy Piercy joining us from Houston TX. I'm Tim with Ed Walker. And Fred, what do you think about that's fascinating.
Well, I'm going to get a copy. I really am, because, I mean, that's just right along with, I mean, I write about that. AFA talks about that. Hmm. That's, I mean, that's she's speaking the truth.
Why do you think, I know I'm asking a question that is rhetorical in some respects, but, Ed, we deal with this all the time, but why do you think there's such vitriol against the Christian church who still teaches biblical morality when it comes to human sexuality. And we experience it here at American Family Association. I mean, we're called bigots and haters and judgmental people because we just espouse what Nancy was talking about.
Right.
Why do you think the arrows come our way when we're just... Why?
Well, I think it's because as the culture moves away from God in general, what you have is a larger population of unregenerate, unconverted people whose hearts have not changed. And so this is all rooted in rebellion. So when you have a group or you have the church telling people what they can't do in a society where they're told you can do whatever you want as an individual, all of a sudden you got these killjoys saying, you telling me I can't do what I want, and you're saying God is telling me I can't do what I want. So I think it's just at root, it's rebellion. It's an angry reaction to people telling them the truth. Now, what Nancy is saying is the message really is you are going to be happier. Young people on the college campus, you're going to be happier if you do things God's way. But they interpret it as being, you're telling me I can't. Yeah. And the more people who move away from God, the more that rebellion will... That's the way I was before I became a Christian. That's human nature apart from the work of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, the biblical teachings on human sexuality, and not just that God is against homosexuality, all biblical teachings on human sexuality need to be taught more from the pulpit. I think it's kind of a touchy subject, and you know, your kids can't hear about sex from the pulpit, but that's left our churches not knowing what is right and what is wrong when it comes to human sexuality. And so you have adultery, you have fornication, you have homosexuality, etc., going on even in the church. And it's really, and from that causes broken families. And from that causes children in distress because they don't have both parents at home. I mean, really, you break this down, and sexual immorality, it starts in the family, obviously, and it just goes from there, and the destruction is...
causes misery. Yeah. Everyone thinks it's causing them to be happy.
Right.
And in reality, they wind up being very... Like she said, these college kids, it's extraordinary.
She called it the hookup culture.
They're lonely.
Yeah.
The hookup culture doesn't satisfy.
Right.
No. You know, to pick up on what Walker was saying, the mixed messages in the church, particularly about homosexuality, I think we've turned the corner on abortion. There just seems to be a collective wisdom that's developing out there, and a lot of it's young people leading the way. This is a human being inside the womb. And science has taken us there, too. This is a human being.
Right.
It's not just a blob. Parts of the body are forming. It's breathing. It feels pain.
Heartbeat.
Yeah. All of those things. And I think we have to get to the point in churches where let's stop debating whether God made someone a homosexual. No, they didn't. Nancy Piercy's point. No, he makes male and he makes female. And so we ought to be driven by our physiology in this case, the reality of our physiology. And so once churches start preaching that once again, that gets rid of that kind of confusion that's out there.
Yeah.
And that's where we have to go. It's going to take the same kind of battle, the same kind of reasoning, the same kind of dedication in our churches that we dealt with abortion on the homosexual issue.
Well, I think a lot of Christians don't want to be called haters and bigots. Mm-hmm. And so what they do is they go silent. They go silent on the issue, and silence is affirming in many respects. Something the Bible says is unnatural and immoral. Mm-hmm. We'll be back in 5 minutes with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.